in about Dirac equation and its symmetry operators. And if I still have time in the end, I'll tell you about how to generalize Killing-Arnold tensors. And so the talk is based on these three papers, and there is a collaboration. These are my collaborators over the years. Okay, so to start with something simple, I'll just remind you what symmetries we have in GR. So to start with, there are Killing vectors, which have very nice geometrical meaning with diffeomorphisms. And so everything boils down to the Killing vector equation here. And basically, Killing vectors are genuine symmetries of the configuration space. So to every continuous symmetry by Noether theorem, there is a conserved quantity. So for example, if you have geodesic motion of a particle, and you have this particle has momenta u mu, then you can associate with this Killing vector a conserved quantity C1, which is linear in the momentum of the particle. And so this is conserved along the geodesic. However, these are not the only symmetries which you have in GR. There are some objects which are called Steckel-Killing tensors, which are basically higher dimensional, a higher rank generalization of Killing vector. And so these are symmetric tensors of rank 2 and higher, and then they satisfy the generalization of Killing vector equation. So whenever you have a Killing tensor, it gives you a conserved quantity for particle motion. In this case, if you have rank 2 Killing tensor, it gives you quadratic in momenta conserved quantity. So contrary to Killing vectors, these are not symmetries of the configuration space, because if you project everything down, you get nothing. So these are something like symmetries of phase space. There is yet another type of symmetries which are associated with Killing-Arnold tensors. And again, you can think about the corresponding equation as a generalization of Killing vector equation. So now we have completely anti-symmetric objects, forms, and they give you some nice symmetries, which I will talk about. But the immediate thing which you can think of is if I have, again, a particle with the velocity u mu, and I contract it with this Killing-Arnold tensor, I get something which is parallel transported along the geodesic. So now this is like linear in momentum, C2 is quadratic in momentum. And so whenever we have Killing-Arnold tensor, you can basically square this V mu to get quantity C2. So if I square that, I get like F square, which gives me the Killing tensor, and then I will have U mu, U nu. So Killing-Arnold tensor is in some sense more fundamental. Whenever you have Killing-Arnold tensor, you get also Killing tensor. So now let us have a look at Killing-Arnold tensors from more mathematical point of view. So for a general differential form omega, if you take its covariant derivative, it splits into three parts. So exterior divergence and symmetric part. And so when the symmetric part vanishes, you have something special. And that is called conformal Killing-Arnold tensor. So I take a covariant derivative with respect to field X, and I get an exterior part. So this is just the exterior derivative times X. This is the inner derivative with respect to field X. And I get the divergence part here. So this is star d star. So it's co-derivative. And I will denote, so if I have vector field X, XB in this music notation will denote the corresponding one form. Okay, and so now the symmetric part is missing. So this is, so there will be other terms here, but now they are missing. So we have conformal Killing-Arnold tensor. So special cases of this are Killing-Arnold tensors, and they don't have that part, and close conformal Killing-Arnold tensors, and they don't have that part. So now these two things, these two special subcases, have very special property that under the Hodge duality, they transform into the other one. So Hodge star of close conformal Killing-Arnold is Killing-Arnold and vice versa. Okay, so this is our setup. Now I will specialize to something I can say more about, and that will be so-called principal Killing-Arnold tensor. So it will be non-degenerate, by definition, non-degenerate closed conformal Killing-Arnold two-form. So it satisfies this kind of equation. It's a two-form. So in tensor notations, you can write it like that. And it follows that it is closed, And this Xi, by tracing the equation which you have, is a divergence of H. Okay, so let us postulate the existence of this two form and find the consequences. And in some sense, this is quite opposite to what we had in the morning. So in the morning, we studied something which had Kähler two form, which is something like this. But basically, the eigenvalues of Kähler two form are completely degenerate. They are constants. So here we impose that all the eigenvalues will be non-degenerate. So we have quite something like opposite. And actually, for physical applications, this is much more fruitful from the general relativity point of view. So, okay, so let us construct a local canonical metric element admitting this thing. So there is a Darboux theorem. So I can always diagonalize my metric, and then I have a two form, and now I'm in Euclidean space, and everything is non-degenerate. I can write a two form in this basic form here. So x mu are basically something like eigenvalues of this two form, and I impose they are all functionally independent. And if I'm in D, which is 2n plus epsilon is either 0 or 1 dimensions, to treat even and odd dimensions at the same time, then these x mu, there is n of independent x mu's. Okay, so now, starting from here, we can use small lemma, which we proved several years ago, and that is, if you have two closed conformal Killingano tensors, and you take their wedge product, and then you get, again, closed conformal Killingano tensor. So let's prove which you can do in three lines. It took us almost 1 year to prove that. But, okay. So now how can you use that? So you have this, you postulated the existence of H, and now you can take wedge products of this H, and basically you can take up to n of them, if you, like dimensions over two number of times. And so these all will be closed conformal Killingano tensors. Now I told you about this Hodge duality, so the Hodge duals are Killingano tensors. And I told you that if you square Killingano tensor, you get Killing tensor. So you can construct basically n, like d half in d dimensions, Killing tensors, Killingano tensors, and so on. And using the explicit form in this Darboux basis which we postulated, so these Killing tensors can be written like this, where this is basically symmetric functions of these eigenvalues of Killingano tensor. Okay. So these are towers of hidden symmetries, hidden because they are the symmetries of this phase space, not of the configuration space. You don't see them in the configuration space immediately. Okay, but what is actually very, very nice about this principal Killingano tensor is that it generates also the tower of isometries. And that's done as follows. So I have these Killing tensors here. I contract that with H. This is called Killing copotentials. It's a two form. So this thing is special in all dimensions. Let's forget about it for the moment. So explicitly in this Darboux basis, you see that if I set this constant equal to 1, this function equal to 1, then I recover my principal Killingano tensor. But now all these copotentials differ from it just by the symmetric function of x mu's. So now if you take the divergence of these things, you get, and you can prove that these are Killing vectors. And because the eigenvalues of H are independent, actually it turns out that these Killing vectors are also independent. And moreover, all these things, they actually commute in between themselves. So you have commuting Killing vectors. They commute with the Killing tensors as well. And also the Killing tensors which you constructed, they Schouten commute with respect to these brackets to get zero. So everything is commuting, everything is very, very nice. So this allows you basically to construct completely the metric element locally. And that's done as follows. So introduce coordinates. So one set of coordinates will be these eigenvalues of H. And also you have these n additional Killing vectors. So I introduce coordinates psi, which will be associated with these Killing vectors. And the canonical metric can then be written as this thing. So everything is completely fixed. It has n plus epsilon isometries. And everything is fixed up to n metric functions, which are functions of one variable only. So So you basically constructed the thing up to these unknown functions. Okay. So now the question is this physically interesting? And it turns out it is. So this is the freedom which we have. And now you can impose the Einstein space condition, for example. So I demand that the Ricci tensor is proportional to the metric. And it specifies you the form of these functions, and they turn out to be polynomials in X mu's, except in all dimensions. And so we have some constants, three constants here, and it turns out that these constants are actually related to mass, knot parameters, rotations, and cosmological constant. And the whole thing is actually the most general kernel ADS spacetime, which was constructed by Chen, Liu, and Pope in 2006. So it is like Kerr-metric, but now in all dimensions with knot parameters and cosmological constant. Okay, so it is physically interesting. I'll just gather some miraculous properties of these spacetimes, which basically gathering what we have done in the last 6 years. So principal Killingano tensor generates these towers of hidden symmetries and isometries, but also it gives you basically uniquely, in the Euclidean case, these kernel ADS spacetimes. The integrability conditions of this equation give you that the Weyl tensor is algebraically special. It is Petrov type D. This is also related to the fact that you can write these metrics in the Kerr-Shield form. So it's like linearization around flat metric. This thing is also related to separability of various equations in this in the fixed background. So you can separate the Hamilton-Jacobi, Klein-Gordon, and Dirac equation. And I will talk about it in a minute. And the separability is connected with the symmetry operators, which you can construct. So you have always the operator, for example, the box operator. And then now you are interested, what are the symmetry operators of this box operator? And they can be constructed from this Killingano tensor as well. It also gives you integrability of stationary strings, of geodesic motion. You can construct fully the parallel transported frame, and so on and so on. In four dimensions, there is a connection with electromagnetic, with separability of electromagnetic perturbations, possible connection with gravitational perturbations. In higher dimensions, we were not able to prove that. It's an open question left for future. Okay, so this is the summary where we, what was done in 6 years. So now let me look at Dirac equation and symmetry operators in a little bit more. So just to very quickly gather the notations, so I'll have orthonormal basis of TM, so these are vector basis and the one form basis. I will use contracted wedge product, so this would be just the normal wedge product, and then it's basically there is K contractions in between the tensors, so basically I contract K indices and then I completely antisymmetrize what is left. So that's what is contracted wedge product means. Levi-Civita connection and the associated operators, exterior derivative and co-derivative. I will also use inhomogeneous forms, something which was explained in the morning. So I just treat alpha to be, so these are homogeneous, and I take all of them degrees. And if you see these strange operators, pi and eta, so the first one basically gives you the rank of each homogeneous part, and the other one gives you parity or, okay? And I will associate spinners with these differential forms. So to any form, I assign a corresponding element of Clifold algebra with the gamma matrices here. So you can use also, you can associate Clifold multiplication with these things. So whenever there is nothing, it means there is a Clifold multiplication in between the elements of the Clifold algebra. And this can be expressed nicely in forms like the wedge product and contracted wedge product here. And these two expressions are precisely equivalent to the standard thing which you know for gamma matrices. And this notation was actually, I think, very nicely explained here. Okay, so now we have a Dirac equation, and possibly we don't limit ourselves to just Dirac equation itself. So this will be just the bare Dirac operator, but now I allow for arbitrary fluxes here, so I allow arbitrary inhomogeneous form B here. And this will be in the standard notation. And of course, it allows me to treat at the same time the massive Dirac equation, the Dirac equation with the Maxwell field distortion and with five form flux and so on. So this will be that. So now Dirac symmetry operators were studied in these papers in physics. But I'll be mainly interested in separability of the Dirac equation. And actually, the theory is not well established. But what we thought we need is actually a complete set of linear mutually commuting operators. So let us specify to this case. And so we have a small proposition that the most general first order operator S, which commutes with the Dirac operator, now I specify, now I limit myself to B equal to 0. I will return to B non-trivial later. So now just the standard Dirac operator. So I have this operator which commutes with D, and that splits into two parts in the Clifford even and Clifford odd part. And this even I will call an operator K, and it's in one-to-one correspondence with odd Killingiano form. So omega O must be odd Killingiano form, and this is the operator. And the other possibility is that I have even closed conformal Killingiano form. So this is all the, this is a theorem. This is all the operators which are of the first order and which commute with the Dirac operator in curved space. Okay. So what are the applications of this small proposition? So first is there an algebra of Killingiano tensors? That's actually a question which people try to address. And there's not known answer, so it's a question for you. So first of all, if you have Killing tensors, which are these symmetric objects, these form an algebra, and this is algebra with respect to the symmetric Schouten-Nichenzus brackets. So you can find this, but just an example. So if you have a Killing vector and Killing tensor, so if you have two Killing vectors, it's just the Lie bracket. If you have Killing vector and Killing tensor, it's a Lie derivative of this Killing tensor. If you have two Killing tensors, it's this object here. So all Killing tensors form an algebra with respect to that. But now we have Killingiano tensors, so they are antisymmetric. So no such an algebra is known. And what people tried, actually, there is antisymmetric version of these brackets. Again, they are called Schouten-Nichenzus brackets. And this is how they are defined. So people tried whether actually they form an algebra, Killingiano tensors or closed conformal Killingiano tensors, whether they form an algebra with respect to these brackets. And it turns out it's not true in general. In fact, it's true only in flat space or ADS space and so on. So not very physically interesting. So open question for you. So what we have as a naive idea how actually construct these brackets is, so we had this operator L of the, well, I call it S before. So now I can consider, for example, so this is first order operator, which commutes with the Dirac operator. I can consider two of them and consider, for example, a commutator or anti-commutator. So then immediately this thing will again commute with the Dirac operator. But because this is linear operator, in general, what I get by commutation is a quadratic operator. So people study these quadratic operators, but they didn't get very far. So now I may actually impose a condition that I get, again, linear operator, which means I'm killing the second order term. And it gives you some strong, unfortunately, very strong algebraic conditions. But if these are satisfied, you can prove that this operator K corresponding to Killing tensors give you, so under this certain very strong algebraic conditions, you get K, K commutator gives you K, KM gives you M, and MM gives you K. So unfortunately, we don't know any non-trivial example of these things. So either these algebraic conditions are satisfied, and we get all these things equal to zero, which will be the case I will discuss in a minute, or they are so strong that we couldn't find any non-trivial example where they are satisfied and you get non-trivial thing. But once this is true, then you know that this thing here, which stands, must be a Killingiano tensor. So you can define a Killingiano bracket. So starting with Killingiano tensor kappa and Killingiano tensor lambda, you must get a Killingiano tensor which is given by this bracket. So this would give you how to define these Killingiano brackets. But as I say, we don't know any example. So the question about the algebra of Killingen atoms does remain open. So now this trivial thing, but it's actually rather non-trivial. So if you are in this canonical metric element which you constructed, then you can show that all these operators corresponding to Killing vectors which we have there and these close conformal Killingen tensors H, they all commute. So basically, the algebraic conditions are satisfied in this space-time, and the Killingen brackets which I defined before are trivial. But this is very nice because you have complete set of commuting operators. So in D dimensions, you have D operators which commute. And as a consequence, the massive Dirac equation in this space-time separates. So I can define a common eigenfunction of these operators k's and m's. So now I have to choose representation of gamma matrices. So I'll choose other, so this is non-standard notation, but I'll just choose them as a product of Pauli sigma matrices. And then I have separation ansatz. So these are the Killing directions and corresponding constants. I have a product of two spinners, which I impose that they all depend only on one coordinate x nu. And unfortunately, I have some prefactor here which mixes the coordinates. So this is not separated thing, but I have it there. But if you plug everything in, you get that these spinners x chi nu, they satisfy actually ordinary differential equations, first order differential equations. But these are coupled, but only in 2x2 spaces. So we can basically decouple them and get second order equations for each chi nu. And this is the basic, so this is the justification of previously obtained result that you can actually separate this equation in the space-time. So now you may ask about the standard separability, so I don't like that prefactor R there. And you can do without it, but at the expense that your gamma matrices will now depend on these coordinates x mu. So this is my prefactor R, and I just define a separated transformation of gamma matrices. I have new gamma matrices. I redefine my operators as that. And again, I consider the eigenvalue problem. And it turns out that now the solution can be found in the completely separated form. So now I was asking people, is this really bad? Well, what's wrong with this? And nobody told me why this should be a problem. So if you see any problem with x-dependent gamma matrices, please let me know. OK. Very good. So now we have generalized Killingen tensors. So what is nice and bad about the standard Killingen tensor is that we know the canonical metric element. And we know, so this is basically, it gives us the vacuum solution or the Kernot ADS solution. It gives us special algebraic type D and so on. So it gives us very nice properties, but at the same time, it is very, very limited. So what we would like to do is actually extend this to some wider class of non-vacuum space-time, which are of interest to physics. So for example, to some black hole space-times of various supergravities in the presence of 3-form, 5-form, and so on. And it is actually known that some of these, or it was known that some of these solutions possess Killing tensors and allow separability of Hamilton-Jacobian Clank-Gordon equation. And so it's a nice paper gathering these things by Chow. And in fact, the presence of these symmetries actually allowed people to guess these solutions. So usually, if you see the supergravity solutions, you don't solve the equation because they are very complicated. You guess the solution. And so the existence of these hidden symmetries allows you to guess what the ansatz should be and so on. So now, if you want the generalized Killingen tensors, you may return back to this Dirac equation with fluxes, this B form here, and ask, what is the symmetry operator, linear symmetry operator here? And the condition that this is a symmetry operator of this generalized Dirac operator, it gives you this equation. So this is a twister operator, precisely the conformal Killingen tensor equation which you had before. And in the presence of fluxes, there is some bracket between omega and b, and this is projected, and this must be equal to zero. So this is generalized conformal Killingen system. So unfortunately, it's coupled system of linear first order partial differential equations, And what is actually coupled is these homogeneous parts of inhomogeneous form omega. So two-form part of omega mixes with three-form part and so on. But this system actually decouples into homogeneous parts if B consists of a function, one form, and three form. So in this special case, this coupled system decouples. So let's have a look at that. So I have B equal to one form A, electromagnetic potential, and the torsion, three form. And what I showed you previously can be now very nicely rewritten in this thing. So this is precisely the same equation as we had for conformal Killingena tensors. But now I just understand everything is in terms of the torsion derivatives. So this is derivative distortion. This is corresponding exterior derivative and so on. And the one form A doesn't play a role. So it just drops out from this equation. It just gives you some algebraic conditions, but it drops out of the equation. So we were very happy to derive that in 2009. And then we realized that it was actually recognized by mathematicians 50 years earlier. So this part, they didn't have that part, but this part here was already published by Jano and Buchner in Curvature and Betty Numbers, 1952. Okay, so now we can play the same game as we did with the standard thing. So we just search for non-degenerate rank 2, now DT closed, two form, and you call it principal Killingenovich torsion. Okay, so now you can try to classify the Euclidean matrix. So again, as before, we have these Darboux bases, but unfortunately, what is at this time unknown as well is the torsion, and the torsion can be now anything. So it's much more complicated problem. You have many more things. So the first thing which you can do is actually fix some freedom. So this form. There's still some rotation in between emu and emu hat planes. So you can fix this rotation by imposing that this psi, which is the vector here, is of this particular form, and q mu are some unknown functions, q zero. And now you have to play with that. You have to use integrability conditions of the equation. You have to use Jacobi identity and so on. And it restricts the form of the torsion and the form of the tetrad very much. So at the end, you obtain some differential equations, which we couldn't solve in general. But you can look at this paper, and it gives you these differential equations, which gives you the canonical space-time. So what is the punchline here is that in the previous case, starting from H, we had the tower of hidden symmetries, but we had also the tower of Killing vectors, of isometries. But this is not the case if you have torsion. So basically, you still preserve the hidden symmetries. But in general, you have no Killing vectors. So you can construct a canonical metric, and we have an example of that, without any Killing vector, but with many Killing tensors. So we don't know if it has any physical meaning. But there are some physical examples which have meaning. And so one of them is, for example, this five-dimensional minimal supergravity and the Chong-Cvetich loop Pope black hole. So you have Lagrangian like that. So this Maxwell field, and you are in five dimensions. So now what you have to do is actually associate the torsion with star of F. Then you get the distortion is very, very special. It is like harmonic with respect to this torsion thing. So dt closed and delta t on t is equal to zero. And so this H exists there. So another example is this. This Lagrangian here, so you have a scale field, two form, and a three form here. And you can associate torsion with H. And so you get an example of charge K not ADS space times in all dimensions, which is something like generalization of Kersant black hole from four dimensions. Another example in this theory which we have is Calabriol matrix with torsion. So these are the examples we have. So now let me summarize. So Killingena symmetry, possibly with torsion, exists in many, I would say, important spherical black hole spacetimes. And it guarantees certain integrability properties. So it guarantees integrability of Jerezic motion, separability of Klein-Gordon equation, of the Dirac equation. So Killingena tensors are in one-to-one correspondence with linear symmetry operators of the Dirac operator in the curved space. So now what was done is that Euclidean canonical metrics admitting this principal Killingen O2 form were locally constructed. So now the question is there something more in the Lorentzian regime? So we thought there is not, but I just received an email from my friend, and he's actually constructing new metrics in the Lorentzian regime. So this is still open question whether you can obtain something new in Lorentzian. So of course, we also limited ourselves to this Killingen O2 form. So we studied only that case. So maybe you can study a case Killingen O3 form and so on. So what is very nice is that this Killingen O-symmetry can be extended to the presence of background fluxes. And especially interesting is this extension to torsion generalization, which seemed to be of interest to some supergravity solutions. And so I told you that these solutions are usually constructed by guess. So if you know the canonical metric element admitting that, you can plug it into Einstein equations and possibly find a new solution. So constructing these things would give you something like ansatz, educated guess for which, in which form you should be searching the solutions. So that's it.